listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. It is a delight to say we are joined by Daniel Horowitz, one of the rising, really luminous, bright stars in the conservative firmament, as far as I'm concerned. Incredibly thoughtful, extraordinarily articulate, and increasingly, fortunately, influential with respect to his analyses of the challenges of our time. He is the author, among other things, of a fantastically important book about which we will be talking momentarily, Stolen Sovereignty: How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. You can also follow his writings at, among other places, Conservative Review. Daniel Horowitz, welcome back. It is so good to have you.
Great to be with you. I wish it could be under better circumstances and better news.
Well, me too. But if it were so, it would be for lesser men to be trying to make sense of it all and do something about it. So here we are. Daniel Horowitz, let me ask you first and foremost for your thoughts about the attacks of yesterday, and not only what you know they are about in their own right, but what they portend.
Sure. I mean, there's one thing that's important here, and that is immigration. Obviously, Democrats are going to want to talk about everything else but this attack. They're going to want to talk about extremism in general. You know, Republicans, they're predispositioned to talk about ISIS and foreign policy. The reality is the front line in this war is not in Raqqa, it's not in Tikrit or Mogadishu, where we send our troops to do God knows what. It's in communities such as Paterson, New Jersey, Brooklyn, New York, Minneapolis, Dearborn. We have the problem in the country because we let the problem in, as we see. This is a 29-year-old immigrant from Uzbekistan. And again, you know, a lot of times people politicize certain events, certain tragedies, and they don't have much to do with a public policy outcome. But in this case, it has everything to do with it because immigration is an elective policy. We have problems in our own country. We're going to always have problems among our own population. But the fact that we are bringing in people in record numbers from these countries after 9/11, despite the ubiquitous nature of jihad in these areas, is just simply suicidal. Frank, I don't know what it's going to take to get our political leaders to finally shut this off.
I don't either, but one of the things I know is a contributing factor is our not-so-political and yet very political judiciary. When you ask the question of what we're going to need to do to shake up the political class here, one obvious step, it seems to me, is to ensure that we have the freedom to speak about these issues, to actually challenge the orthodoxy or the political correctness or whatever you want to call it, the submission, as I was just talking about with Diana West. But one of the other forces that is very clearly operating here in so many different areas, but specifically on this immigration question, as you know so well, is the federal judiciary. And I'd like you to talk about, as I mentioned, your thesis in Stolen Sovereignty that we actually have unelected and therefore unaccountable judges transforming America. Talk about it in the context, Daniel, of what's been going on with President Trump's immigration pause executive orders.
It's amazing. If you think about it, after an event like this, and again, I never think public policy should be driven by one event solely. This is a broad trend, a growing problem. Like I said, you know, immigration from the Middle East is the fastest growing subset. It's not just a debate over, well, whether we let in some or none. This is the fastest growing trend in immigration. So any sane president would say, all right, well, we're going to end the diversity visa lottery, which is just insane policy, even outside of national security concerns. And we're going to ratchet down immigration from countries that have a lot of Islamic terrorists. Guess what? At present, right now, despite the Supreme Court's ruling, one federal district judge has the ability to stop a president from evidently denying a single visa to someone from like a country such as Uzbekistan. I mean, Judge Watson from Hawaii has an injunction in place that's functioning right now. The courts have done to immigration in the past year what they've done to marriage and life and many other issues that they should have no jurisdiction over. This is a political issue. It's Congress has full power over it, and the president has Article 2 national security powers over this. It is amazing how we've allowed lower courts that are a creation of Congress, not the Constitution, to run roughshod over everything the president wants to do. Congress could end their jurisdiction over this tomorrow. Congress could defund visas from these countries tomorrow. And I think the president needs to take his tweets to the next level and actually demand these policy changes.
Let me ask you, Daniel, because you raised such an important point there. The Supreme Court did seem to slap down this particular federal judge, among others in the federal judiciary, over this precise overreach. So how is it he is able to still be doing it? And again, on a nationwide injunction.
Exactly. And by the way, the first case with the Supreme Court, that was the stronger order. The one that Judge Watson went and placed the nationwide injunction on last week was actually a weaker version. And yes, I mean, nationwide injunctions, the notion that a district judge could just declare something outside of an individual case or controversy inside his geographical jurisdiction, that is completely made up. That is what distinguishes the judicial power from a legislative or executive veto power. This is literally a system of government we did not adopt. It's made up. And I think also you identified one factor in why I believe the judiciary is irremediably broken and we're never going to fix it by simply appointing Republican judges. We have to systemically reform its jurisdiction, among other things, because they don't respect precedent even from 3 minutes ago. You know, so basically, this is a perfect case study. For 200 years, the court said that immigration is inherent in sovereignty and the political branches have to decide that the court cannot grant standing to foreign nationals to sue for any rights to come here. Right now, they're creating rights to come here to have an abortion, to have driver's licenses. But once a court breaks it one time, they'll say that that's precedent. See, progressives believe that what they're doing is the moral thing. It's the right thing. So you could always be more moral than the Supreme Court, but you can't be less moral.
Where is the court itself, the Supreme Court, in all of this? It does seem as though they've got a vested interest as well as a constitutional duty to ensure that the lesser courts are conforming, do they not? Or is this really up to Congress to try to simply defund these guys?
The Supreme Court's a joke. I mean, it's one directional. You bet your bottom dollar that if a conservative judge were doing something like this, it would be struck down in 3 seconds. You know, it's political. They allow the lower courts to be their forward guard to start advancing the ball. They don't want to do it so blatantly, but they allow the lower courts to stand. They take a long time to address it. They often never address it. Or even when they do a split the baby type of decision and entertain completely illegitimate arguments. So this is a huge problem. Unless the other two branches say this is illegitimate and step on the playing field and use their co-equal and stronger powers to push back against the courts, I fear that we have no country left, because we now have to submit before a lower court the national security rationale for cutting off a single visa.
It's unbelievable. It is, in fact, as you've called it, the transformation of America, Daniel Horowitz, and something that I believe you're completely correct, especially if the Supreme Court is not going to impose any discipline and living up to their own precedents, as you say, then it does behoove the president and the Congress to step in. Daniel, there's so much more to talk about on this. I'd hope that we would get to another judge's interposing her views on the commander-in-chief's authority concerning the makeup of the United States military, but that will be for another day. Thank you so much for your time and for the great work that you do at Conservative Review. Please, folks, check out Daniel's really path-breaking book, Stolen Sovereignty: How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. Daniel, we'll talk to you again very soon. Next up, we'll have Admiral James Ace Lyons to talk about the attack of yesterday and more generally what we're up against, and also the president's trip to Asia, right after this.